ahead and be seated. Open your Bibles with me. Let's go over to Psalm 100, if you would. Psalm 100. Here's what it says. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that have made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into the gates, enter to His gates with thanksgiving, and enter into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Here we have the psalmist saying, listen, here's how you ought to come into the house of God. You ought to come in with rejoicing. You ought to come in with joy. You ought to come in with a shout. You ought to come in with praise. A lot of times we come to a service and we get into the service and we just sit there. We come into God's house and into His presence, and instead of us getting involved, we become a spectator instead of a participator. You see, when you come to the house of God, you've come to worship Him. Now, it's wonderful to see everybody. I love everybody. I love seeing everybody. But here's the thing. I came here to worship Him. And that ought to be the reason that you came to worship Him. You know, you can make excuses for not getting into the service, but the truth is, it's going to be up to you. You have to decide whether you're going to press in. And I'm not going to lie to you. There's times that you come and you feel like it. Right? You're ready. I'm going to worship God. I feel like worshiping God today. This is a good... I'm going to worship Him. But then there's those days that you come and you don't feel it. Yeah. Right? There's those days that you just don't feel it. But those are the days that you press in. Those are the days that you enter His gates with thanksgiving, thanking Him for all that He's done for you. Come on, I don't think there's one person in here that can't be thankful for something that God's done for him. You see, a lot of times we're looking at everything that's wrong and we're not looking at everything that's right. Right? A lot of times we're looking at the things we don't have instead of looking at the things that we do have. Right? Come on. Sometimes we put more focus on the bad days than we do on the good days. Come on now. And I have to believe you have a whole lot more good days than you do bad days. Praise God. So he says, you know, when we come in, we ought to just enter His gates praising Him, thanking God, and loving God. You know, Ecclesiastes says this. It says in Ecclesiastes 10:10, it says, "If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct." Now, you know, the King James has a wild way of putting that, you know. But here's basically what he's saying here. He says, if your axe is dull and you don't sharpen it, it's going to take a whole lot more work for you to cut down a tree with it. But if you're smart, you'll sharpen your axe. Well, what in the world's that got to do with what you're talking about, Pastor? Listen, we need to sharpen ourselves in the Holy Ghost. We need to sharpen our spirit. If we come in and we're dull, we need to sharpen ourselves. Amen. You see, when we got to understand that. We have to shake it off. I was talking with the praise team earlier there, and we were just talking about what to do when you're having those times that you're just, you know, you're just stressed out. Maybe you're going through this time of, I just don't know what I'm going to do. The greatest thing that you can ever do whenever you're in that situation is to take a deep breath and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you, there's times that you're in such a shape and you're in such a condition, you've allowed yourself to get to that place to where it'll be even hard to pray in the Holy Ghost. You have to go ahead and force that. What do you mean force it? I mean, I do it whether I want to or not. I might not feel like praying in the Holy Ghost, but I'm going ahead and praying in the Holy Ghost. And you begin to pray in the Spirit. And as you're praying in the Spirit, you can just feel the tension and the pressure begin to release as you just continued to lose yourself in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, talking to God, allowing the Holy Ghost to take over. You see, His desire is to pray through you, but you have to allow Him to pray through you. You have to allow Him to speak through you. So you have to get yourself to that place to where you say, you know what? I'm making a conscientious decision that I'm going to praise the Lord no matter what. You have to make that decision. When you come into that, things might not be going. You may have some problems. But you have to say, you know what? He's bigger than any problem that I have. Come on. And the Lord is there with you through any problem that you have. So you just have to make up your mind. I'm just going to worship Him anyway. I've decided today I'm just going to praise Him. I don't care what anybody thinks. Don't care what any, no matter what my neighbor done, no matter what anybody else is doing, I'm sharpening my axe, and so I'm going to enter right into His praise. I'm going to enter right into His worship. Now, you know, we sharpen ourselves by praying in the Holy Ghost. Go with me over to Jude. Let me show you something here in the book of Jude. And you'll find it in verse 20. Look what he says here. He says, but you, beloved. How many know you're the beloved? Amen. Come on, he's talking to the brothers and sisters of the Lord here, okay? Why? How do I know that? Well, you can't pray in the Holy Ghost unless you're saved and been filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you can pray in spirit, but you can't pray in the Holy Ghost. Did you hear what I said? You're not going to pray in other tongues unless you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, because that's the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Don't mean you can't pray in the Spirit. But I'm just telling you, he said, but you, beloved, look at that. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Yes. Notice here he says that you build yourself up by praying in the Holy Ghost. Yes. That's how you get built up. That's a pressure relief for you. Amen. I remember Dad Hagin used to say, you know, sometimes he'd pray 2-3 hours in the Holy Ghost, you know, and get up after praying in the Holy Ghost, and the devil say, well, you just wasted 3 hours. That didn't do a bit of good. And he said, I'd just say, all right, you think that's something, watch this. And he said, I'd just go pray another hour. And he said, you know what? The devil just have to leave, because he wasn't allowing him to win. He just kept praying in the Holy Ghost until when he was done praying, he knew that he had reached heaven. Come on. Sometimes it feels like we're not getting there. But I promise you, when you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, that is your direct line to God. Nobody prays in the Holy Ghost like you do. Did you hear me? God gives you your own unique prayer language when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, so that you can talk to God. When you start praying, God says, that's so-and-so. He knows who you are, just like your fingerprints. Praise God. God has given you that. So here Jude says, you know, keep yourself built up by praying in the Holy Ghost. And then verse 21, he says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Notice here that we have something to do in this thing, folks. You know, God's already done everything He's going to do. He's already released His love on this earth. He's already released His forgiveness on this earth. He's already released the Holy Ghost on this earth. So He's expecting you and I to stay in that. Come on now. You know, you can buy a pool and put it at your house, right? You know, you can have the nicest pool, you know. You can have the big high dive if you want to. You can have a slide if you want to. You can have it heated if you wanted to. You can do whatever you want to. And He can be right there available to you. But if you don't ever get in it, it didn't help none. Right? You won't get cool unless you get in. You see? And same thing happens in church. The Holy Ghost shows up. The Spirit of God shows up. And we just stand around and look and say, man, that looks like it's a good time. Right? You can stand at the pool and say, boy, it looks like it'd be good if I got in there. I bet that'd feel good if I got in there. You can sit there and speculate all you want to. But if you don't get in, if you don't participate in that pool, you'll never know. And it's the same way when the Holy Ghost is moving, when the Spirit's moving in the service and we're worshiping and praising God. If you don't ever get in, all you're doing is just standing back and watching. God never intended for you to just stand back and watch. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God, do you realize that you were created to worship Him? Come on, that's what the Bible teaches us. That you and I, we were created to worship Him. It's part of what we do. And so we can't just stand back and be a spectator. We need to get involved, and we need to step in to worship and worship Him and let Him know that He's our God and that we're thankful for everything that He's done. And here's the good news. He's not done yet. So I'm going to keep myself built up praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to keep myself in the love of God. In John 6:63, the Lord Jesus says this, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now think about that. This is what Jesus said. The flesh profits nothing. He says, the words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they are life. So the Word of God is going to bring life to you. That's going to bring spirit to you. And understand that your spirit man, that's what's going to quicken you. That's what's going to make you alive when you stir yourself up. Now, Nehemiah says this in Nehemiah 8:10. He says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Romans chapter 14, verse 17, Paul writes and he says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In other words, it's not a natural thing, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Notice that. So the joy of the Lord is our strength, and the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So if the joy of the Lord is my strength, then I better find out how to get it, right? Come on, I don't know about you, but I want to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Hallelujah. So I got to find out, how am I going to get some joy? What am I going to do? Well, let me just help you a little bit. Proverbs 15:23 says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Notice that a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. Why is that so important? Well, Proverbs 18:21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. And he goes on and says, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life. So here's what I want you to do right now. Look over at your neighbor and say, watch your mouth. Right? Watch what you are saying. Watch what's coming out of your mouth. Why? Because you can either speak out death or you can speak out life. You can have joy from the answer of your mouth, or you can have sadness. Come on now. You know, you hear from some folks and that's all they do is just murmur and complain and gripe and grumble. You know, what are they going to get? What they're talking? Right? Out of your mouth. Right? Death and life. Well, if I'm always talking death, how can I expect to have life? You know, here's the thing about it, folks. The Bible says that God calls those things that be not as though they were. So now if we're going to be like God, and we're supposed to be, right? We're supposed to be like Jesus. Come on, we're Christians, right? Christ-like. Then that means we ought to do what He does. And act like He acts. See, it gets quiet when you start talking this way. But Jesus said, I do what my Father says do, and I say what my Father says say. So if God calls those things that be not as though they were, then, you know, in faith, you and I ought to be calling those things that be not as though they were. In other words, if I feel like I just got run over by a truck, I shouldn't be saying, I just feel like I've been run over by a truck. No, I ought to be saying, you know what? In the name of Jesus, I'm the healed of God. God says He's taken care of my sicknesses and my infirmities. So I thank You, Lord. Now I stand healed. And I give You glory, glory and honor and thank You for my healing in Jesus' name. Yeah, but you don't feel like you're healed. What's feelings got to do with it? The flesh profiteth nothing. It's the Spirit that makes you alive. I'm going to call those things that be not as though they were. You're not denying. See, folks will say, well, you're just lying. No, you're not denying that those symptoms are there. But what you're denying is they're a right to be there. Well, what do you mean? They're there, though. But the Bible says that by His stripes you were healed. You were. If you were, then you are. And so what you have to do is say, I'm going to just do what the Word says. I'm going to take the Word and apply the Word to my life. Don't matter what my flesh feels like. Don't matter what my emotions are, I'm going to do what the Word says because the Word is Spirit. Jesus said, right? The words I speak, they're Spirit. So I'm going to take the words in. I'm going to take the Spirit in and I'm going to be quickened by Spirit. I'm going to be made alive by Spirit. I'm going to be healed by Spirit because that's what the Word of God says I can be. Come on now, church. Now, you can go with the world if you want to. That's up to you. You have a choice in this thing. Notice that, you know, a man hath joy by the words of his mouth. In other words, what I'm saying can give me joy, what I'm saying can make me sad. Come on. What I'm saying can make me healed, what I'm saying can make me sick. You know, the one I really believe the reason the church is at where it's at now is because we've not learned these things, and we're all the time starved to death, froze to death, back's killing me, my head's killing me, my legs is killing me, everything's killing us. Come on. We're dying of thirst and dying of this and dying, right? Come on now. We're always afraid of something. Right? And the Bible says God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Notice the sound mind's there? Well, what's a sound mind say? A sound mind says it's smart to do what the Word says and not do what the world says. Now, you know, I'm going to tell you something. The world will think you're stupid when you do these things. But see, what it is, they don't know. They don't know what you know. Right? And we know that famous quote, he who knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. Right? But he who knows not and knows that he knows not, that's a smart man. Why? Because I know I don't know everything, but I do know this. I can get better. But if I don't know, I don't know. How can I learn? Come on. And so the world just goes on clicking because that's what the world does. But you and I have been brought out of the world. If you're a born-again child of God, you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now you're operating on a different level. Did you hear me? Come on now. You're operating now from a level of the Spirit and not a level of the flesh. That means I've stepped away from that life and I'm now living the God kind of life. There's different rules that apply in the kingdom of God that apply in the kingdom of the world. Did you hear me? Come on now. See, things that had you in the world don't have any ties to you in the Spirit. Now, they try to. See, because the devil doesn't give in. He doesn't just give up. That's why the Bible teaches us, neither give place to the devil. Why? Because if you give him place, you give in. We hear the saying, to give an inch and take a mile. That's what the devil tries to do. So you have to make sure you shut him down in a hurry. He may attack your body with sickness or disease. And by the way, that's where it comes from. Right? The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So we know anything that's given life, it's life-giving, is from Jesus. And anything life-taking is from the enemy. You know, sickness and disease is not a blessing. Right? It's not a good gift, right? But every perfect gift, right? Every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So God never changes His mind about wanting to bless you. God never changes His mind about you being healed because Jesus has already been striped for your healing. God never changes His mind about you wanting you to prosper. He always wants you to prosper according to the Word of God. You see, so God wants these good things for us, but here's the thing. We have a free will. And we get to choose what we do. The other day, Pastor Ed and I were going somewhere, and my mind was just somewhere else. You know, anybody else do that while you're driving? You know, we were going to this particular place, and I just turned off. And after I turned off, she said, Papa, I think you turned off at the wrong place. I got to looking around. I said, you know what? I think I did. Okay. Now, the other way was closer. So, here we are. I chose to turn off in the wrong place. You know what? Took us through this way and that way and that way. And I said, you better get on Google and find out so we can get back quicker. You know, and hey, we had to go to maps and so I could get out of where I was at to get back to where I wanted to go. Well, you see, I chose to take the wrong turn off. Now, again, not really conscientiously. I just drive. But I took it. It was my choice. And because of that, I had to go through a whole lot of stuff to get to where I was going to go that I wouldn't have had to go through if I hadn't have chose to go that way. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is we make choices sometimes that cause us to go through things. And a lot of times we say things out of our mouth that cause us to go through things that we wouldn't have to go through if we'd make the right choice and say the right things. And here's the thing. And no matter what's going on, though, I mean, you and Pastor, we just laughed about it. You know, I thought, well, we ain't been this way before, you know. And we kind of just went ahead and made light of it. But at the same time, it did cause us out. We went out of the way because of that, you see. And God doesn't want you and I to have to go out of the way. He wants to get us straight into the blessing. So we have to be careful and make sure that when it comes to worshiping God, coming into God's house, that we're coming in here with joy in our heart and with praise in our mouth. Listen to what Psalm 35 says, verse 27 to 28. It says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause." Anybody in here favor His righteous cause? Come on. So He says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which have pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. And my tongue shall speak of Thy righteousness and of Thy praise all the day long." Notice that. He says, I'm going to talk about your praise. I'm going to talk about your righteousness. In other words, I'm going to talk about how good You are, God. And I'm going to praise You all day long. No matter what I'm going through, because here's the thing. A lot of folks will say, "Well, yeah, no, but I just don't know. I don't feel like shouting." You know, He says, "Let them shout for joy," but I don't feel like shouting. Again, feelings don't have anything to do with it. Your emotions will be up and down, but your spirit man always wants to praise God. Always want. Let me show you something over here in Psalms chapter 27. If you would, jump over there with me. Psalms 27. Verse 4 here. Let's pick it up right there. Psalm 27 and 4. It says, "My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you till I die. I will not remove mine integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast, and I will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live." Notice that. He says, listen, I'm going to praise. It doesn't matter what's happening, no matter what's said. I'm in Job here, looks like, in 27, and I should be in Psalms. But here Job's saying the same thing, right? He said, I'm going to praise anyway. It doesn't matter. And then you get over into the Psalm, and David says, you know what? I'm going to offer up a sacrifice of praise. Offer up a sacrifice of praise. What's a sacrifice of praise? It's a praise that I praise when no matter what I feel like. To sacrifice means you give up something, right? You've got to give something up, give something away. See, here's the thing. You and I sometimes, even if we don't feel like it, we just praise Him anyway. We just go ahead and lift up our hands anyway and say, "God, I'm going to give You this praise. Right now, honestly, God, I don't feel like this. I don't feel like a shout. But you know what? I'm going to shout anyway. No matter what I'm going through, I'm still going to praise You anyway." You know what I found out? You may start out and you may just lift up your head. "Thank You, Jesus. You know, thank You, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus." You know. And you start out kind of like that because but then after a while you catch yourself going, "Well, thank You, Jesus. You know, thank You, Lord. Well, praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You." First thing you know, the spirit man kicks in and you're praising God and you forgot all about what was wrong. Why? Because I decided to give Him a sacrifice of praise. I offered myself to Him, like the Bible says, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which was just my reasonable service. And I decided I was going to praise Him even though I didn't even feel like praising Him. Church, we've got to get to that place. If we go by our feelings, you're going to be on a roller coaster that just absolutely will take you out. Because, I mean, you get up today and you're feeling good and you're happy and everything's real good. It just takes one phone call, getting around one person that's ill, you know, rude or whatever, and all that emotion changes now, right? Some find out somebody talked about you, you know, and, "Oh, well, they're talking about me." Well, get in line. Jesus said, "They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you." So, see, you can't let your emotions be on this roller coaster. You got to get over in the spirit, and the spirit man's always up. Did you hear me? He's always alive. He's always praising God. He's always giving God glory and honor. No matter what the flesh is going through, no matter what your feelings is going through, I'm just going to stay with the Spirit and I'm going to praise God anyway. I'm going to allow God to be my God through everything. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be times that'll be hard, because Jesus said in this world, you will have tribulation. But He said, be of good cheer. Notice that? You're going to have trouble, but be good cheer. Why, Jesus? Because I've already overcome that for you. Because I've already overcome the world. I've already been through what you're going through, and I came through it. Guess what? I made a way through it for you. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible teaches us, you know, don't think any fiery trial that we're going through is anything that's uncommon to man. It says Jesus was in all points tempted like you and I. And the Bible says that anything that we're going through, understand that God will make a way of escape for us. Notice that He makes a way of escape. It doesn't say that He takes you out of it. You see, you can be in a burning building and there can be an open door. But if you don't escape out that open door, you get burned up in that building. See, if you're going through something, God's always making a way for you to escape it, but you've got to look for the escape hatch. You've got to look for the way of escape. You can't just stay there and wallow in it. I never forget one of the first times I went when Debbie and them used to have a church over in Johnson County over there. And believe me, that bunch was strange. They were really strange. They acted just like we do now. They were strange. You know, I'm a good Baptist boy when I go over there. Okay. I ain't never been around that stuff. You know. And one of the first songs that they sung was, if you catch hell, don't hold it. If you're going through hell, don't stop. They sung that song. I didn't understand any much about it, but I was smart enough to know, you know, I'm not going to hold on to hell. And if I'm going through hell, I sure don't want to stop there. Ain't on my plan, schedule stops. Right? But they sang that song. I've never forgot that. That's been way back. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? That was back in the 90s, somewhere through there, you know. It's been a long time now. It don't seem like that long, really. But they sung that song. But I've never forgot it because of what it said. Think about that again. If you catch hell, don't hold it. And if you're going through hell, don't stop. See, if something comes, don't hold on to that. Let go of it. Get rid of it. It's not yours. It don't belong to you. If you're going through something, don't camp out there. A lot of folks like to camp out in their misery. You know, hey, you don't believe me? Just go look at social media. People airing out all their problems, all their stuff, you know. The least little thing they're going through, and oh my gosh, it's a full page report of what all I'm going through. And all that is to draw pity, poor old me. Well, God doesn't get glory out of that. You know what God gets glory out of? I sought the Lord. Right? And He heard. And He answered. That's what God gets glory out of. A praise report. Yes, I went through that, but praise be to God. God brought me out because I found out that God was working all things together for good to them that love and serve Him. I'm one that loves and serves Him, and God worked it out for me. Praise God. Won't tell you it was fun. Won't tell you it was pretty. Won't tell you it was easy. But I will tell you that God brought me through. Hallelujah. And He always will. You see, and so we got to get excited about that. Even when we're not feeling like it, even when our emotions are going crazy, we still just say, Lord, I'm going to offer up this sacrifice of praise. I'm going to praise You anyway. I'm going to love You anyway, no matter what anybody else does. Now let me show you one other thing. We'll close here in a minute, but jump over here with me to the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. James has lost his mind. Right? Count it all joy when you're going through trouble. Count it all joy when the enemy's coming against you. Count it all joy when somebody's talking about you. Count it all joy when somebody's lying about you. telling tales about you, making up things on you, trying to destroy your reputation, when people are trying to destroy your character, when count it all joy. That's what James says, right? See, here's the thing you've got to understand that James knew, and I'm going to read the rest of it because it just gets better. Here's the thing James knew. If you're being attacked like that, that means you must be doing something right. Because the devil's mad at you because he's trying to destroy you. But guess what? If God be for you, who can be against you? So James says, count it all joy when you're going through all this. Look at this. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. See, you've got to be patient. Here's the thing. When you have the peace of God, you can wake the devil out. Did you hear me? Let the devil just kick and carry on, do whatever he wants to do. Let him try his best, because I've read the end of the book. We win. The devil did everything he thought he could do to get rid of Jesus, including getting him crucified. And all he did was bring him out victorious out of the grave, caused the devil to lose the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and brought salvation to every person that lived upon the earth that Satan hated so much. Hallelujah. Notice that. It works patience. Just be patient. God's working. Maybe not as fast as you would like, but just count it all joy because God is working on your behalf. Notice that. Stay in faith. But look, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect. That means complete and entire, wanting nothing. Notice that. When you're going through things, you just be patient. God's working. You just stay in faith. And through your patience, God is going to come in and complete this thing. And you're going to end up being mature, complete, wanting nothing. You won't be lacking anything. What the devil meant to take away from you, he cannot take. Why? Because it don't belong to him. You are not the devil's property. You belong to God. You're God's property. And any time the devil messes with you, he's trespassing on God's property. You've got to understand that. When Jesus met Saul on the road to Damascus, he was going down there to persecute God's people, God's children. He was going down there to put them in jail and kill them. And when that light shone in front of Saul, Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He knew who he was. And Jesus said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul persecuting the Lord? Yes, he was. You know how? He was persecuting his people, his children. And the Lord took it personal and asked Saul, "Why are you persecuting me?" Can I tell you this? That when the devil comes after you, when somebody talks about you, when the devil influences somebody to come against you, and the devil always uses people. Always. But when he does that, he's not coming against you. He's coming against Jesus. Anytime anybody comes against this church, they're not coming against us. They're coming against God, because this church belongs to God. Anytime they're coming against you, they're not coming against you. They're coming against God. Now, they may use you as the point of attack. But you see, God's my defense. Come on. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord's going to raise up a standard. You know what the standard is? See, you understand, during the Old Testament times, the tribes, everyone had what they called a standard. It was their flag. And that standard stood for what company it was. Who's what group is this? Is this Judah? Is this one of the other groups of this? This is their standard, their flag. And the Bible says when the enemy comes after you, that the Lord raises up the flag and says, this is my company right here. You cannot attack them, because they belong to me. They're under my rule and reign, not yours, Satan. Get your hands off of them. Amen. So James says, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Just shout and praise God. Give God glory. See, some of you folks need to shout away some of the things that's going on in your life. You need to quit dwelling on what's wrong and start thinking about what's right. Well, yeah, but I don't know what's right yet. What do you want to be right? What is it that you need to call that into being? What is it that's not yet that you need to be? You need to start shouting, thanking God for it. You need money? Thank you, Father God. I praise you, Lord God, that money's coming my way. Thank you, Father God, money's coming into my life from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Thank you, Father God, you're taking care of my finances. I am prosperous and not in poverty. Hallelujah. You need healing in your body? Thank you, Lord Jesus. I am the healed of God in Jesus' name. Your word declares by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. If I was, I am. Thank you, Lord God, for my healing. You bore my sicknesses and my infirmities so I don't have to. Thank you, Lord. I'm the healed of God. Thank you, Lord. I have joy in my life. Thank you, Father God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank you, Father God, Lord, that you fill me with joy. I'm a joyous person. I have joy coming from the north, south, east, and west. Come on, somebody. Out of your mouth, you need to shout some things out. Come on. Don't allow the enemy to bring your mind into that and bring you down because of the situation. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Not that problem. You have to understand the church, this is the life God wants us to live. He wants us to count it all joy. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly, to the full, till it overflows, the Bible says. We've just got to get ourselves sharpened up. We've just got to get ourselves alive in the Spirit. Through the Word of God, through prayer, through spending time with God, and just make up our minds that out of my mouth is going to flow the goodness of God. Out of my mouth, I'm going to speak out the Word of God. Don't matter what I feel, no matter what I see, no matter what I hear, I'm still going to speak out what God says.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Jesus had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil comes to him and says, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made to bread. Now, you know Jesus was hungry and he could have done that. But you know what he said? Man shall not live by bread alone, but out of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What did he say? My flesh is not going to profit if I don't keep my spirit alive. I'm not going to focus on the natural things. I'm going to focus on the spiritual things. It's what we need to be doing, church. Now more than ever, I believe that we're in a spiritual time of renewal in the church. It's time for us then to stir ourselves up. You see, it won't happen automatically. Even though God's Spirit, I really believe, is being poured out on this earth right now, greater than it's been in a long time, it's up to us to get in. It's up for us. It's up to us to stir ourselves up and start setting aside the world. You want to have peace? Shut down your Facebook. I know that's going to be tough on some. I didn't say you had to shut down Messenger. Just shut down the Facebook. Because there ain't nothing happening on there anyway. Right? Doom, gloom, and agony on me, right? Come on. You want to have peace? See, here's the thing. If you don't read any negativity, you won't get any negativity in you. Right? Jesus even said, be careful what you hear. See, what you let through your eye gates and your ear gates gets in your spirit. And if you keep it out of there, it can't get in there. Guard your heart, the Bible says over in Proverbs. Because out of it flows the issues of life. So we have to guard ourselves. If we want to stay joyous in the Lord, and we need to stay about the things of the Lord. Doesn't mean you still don't got to work and you got to do all those things. But the thing about it is, I'm not letting any extra negativity in my life. I'm going to stay in the Lord and let the joy of the Lord be my strength. Amen? Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet with me. This morning, I want you to just think about how good God's been to you. That ought to make you joyous. He saved you, set you free. Saved a lot of your families. Working on some.